When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week as always and for the last podcast for a well-in break is Donnie and Tom. How are you doing, Donnie?
I'm very well, thank you.
Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Okay, we will get the housekeeping done first for you with a smile on their face over there. I wonder why. First up, we have the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup winner, Big Fish Barracuda, won it back to back. So he must be now a bit of royalty in this game. That's in one of the big league and won two of our cups. So that's good shooting. And in our own podcast league, Dory couldn't help himself. Woodland Dale's winner. He is the champion. I'd say Pippin Melvino, I suppose. He finished a decent lead. But Dory's won it. Second was Melvin. Third was Nick Seller. So well done, Dory. The £500 stays in Poddus. Then we don't need to see that Thursday. And what I thought of it next season. I wish. Right, so we'll do our final scores and final rank of the season, and then I'll ask you how you felt about the season overall, your rank and plans for next year. And I'll go first because obviously I was finished at the bottom. So 73 points for me this week. Clark in goals for 3, Tavernier 6, Fish 4, Johnson 7, Clarkson 2, Jota 11, Cartwell 4, Captain Abada 2, right in the mud with that one, Shanklin 1, Sakala 15, and Vice Captain Van being 18, which gives me a final rank of 69. So if I'm looking at that over the space of the season, I did say that season, a top 100 would have been good, but as the season progressed, I think at one point I was sitting 19, so dizzy heights for that. I think it was due to, I remember being before the template in a few players. I think maybe Hatate was wanting to score well for me, but then once a couple of daft captain mistakes and people start kind of catch up with the same players, it was hard to gain rank and 69 overall position. Overall, can I complain? I'll have half my rank for last year. I think it was 136 last year, so 69 this year, roughly. And I plan to get inside the top 100 to top 50 next year, but that plan will be in motion as the season goes on. Because I do think if they do have the one team for all leagues next season, you'll get more engaged managers, which means it'll probably be harder to get a better finish. But anyway, Tom, over to you.
Yep, so my final rank was 23rd. Do you want me to run through my team and the points for?
Yeah, just go for it one last time.
So I had Laidlaw in goal for nothing. Captain Tav got me 6. Johnston got me 7. And Devlin got me 1. In midfield, Ginelli got me 2. My punt on Hadji was 3. Yota 11 and Cantwell 4. And up front, Kyogo got me 12. Vice-captain Van Veen got me 18. And I went Captain Vassell for 14.
Right, I wonder if you said Captain Tav a second ago. Just is probably stuck in your head. So your overall rank was 24th, you said there?
23rd.
Happy with that?
So, I kind of wanted top 10. I was in the top 10 for a brief time and I think players were kind of bunched up together. So one decent kind of game week maybe could have got us there, but I don't think you can argue too much with 23rd. So I'm happy with that.
You're right last season?
I can't remember now. I was much higher than that, though.
I think you were top. Were you in the top 10 last season?
Me, I was 19th last season.
Do you remember it, Thomas? Can you remember off the top of your head?
Well, it would have been behind me, so I can't remember off the top of my head. I think you were both inside top 100, right?
I think you've improved your rank this year, Tom.
Yeah, I definitely have improved upon it. I can't remember where I lay, though. Maybe like 70-something, 80-something, maybe.
Yeah, okay. No, I wasn't seated one last year, Donny. I was 136 last year. So okay. One aside. Right, Don, over to you. You had a good finish, a right good game week.
Take
away.
Yes, I did take a punt. I took a -4 with my three transfers that I had. I didn't have a goalie, so I took in Walker. That didn't work out. 2 points. Johnson off the bench for 7. That was good. Tavernier, 6. A punt, Starfelt, 11. Shows you how they can work out for you. Jota, 11. Oh, my screen's just gone blank. McGrath, 7. Gianelli, 2. Campbell, 4. And then up front, we had Sakala for 15. Vice-captain Van Veen for 18. And then the triple captain that I had up my sleeve went for Kyogo, 36. So that ended me up on 119. -4 was 115. Took my global score to 2678. I was 14th last time we talked. I was 14th after the midweek games. And thanks to that triple captain, I managed to rock it up to 6th overall. So I'm absolutely ecstatic with that as a finish. I think, having finished 19th last season, I wondered if that was maybe just a one-off from doing the podcast and really focusing on it. My aim would have been to get top 10, but I never thought that I would actually do it. But as Tom said, it's really hard towards the final few weeks when all the teams are relatively the same. It's really hard to make any ground, because you can take a risk, as we've seen from you guys in the last couple of weeks. And if Tavernier clutches, you just lose so much momentum. You've almost just to kind of stick, and make one change here or there. So I've been lucky. It's worked in my favour. A lot of good names in that top 20 of you. Keep an eye on the table. So to finish 6th is absolutely fantastic. Really, I'm happy with that one.
Next year's aim, top 5? Top 1?
It's really difficult. I mean, I've looked at the averages. You're talking it, but nearly 75 points per game week to get that score. So that's really hard. But I think holding on to that triple captaincy probably worked in my favour, because everyone else is doing it at the same time everyone's doing it. So you don't really change in rank. So having that up my sleeve at the end probably worked out well, because let's be honest, my wild cards failed and my bench boost failed. So it was good to have something go in my favour. And from a points point of view, I couldn't have really got much more out of the triple captain than putting it on Kyogo. Probably Van Veen or Sakala would have got me. But it was a great game week to do it.
Plus, you're all lucky with off injured. If you still have another 30 to 40 minutes, you could have more.
Yeah, yeah.
But these things happen. Exactly. Right, I'm going to run through the scores for the final game week, and then we're going to come to Tom with a wee quick summary, and then, 2 minutes. Okay, so the final game week scores. There was midweek scores. I'll quickly run through them as well, because it's just for. Well, I'm sure I don't want it for. It doesn't matter. Run through them anyway. So with Rangers 2, Hearts 2, Hibs 4, Celtic 2, Aberdeen 3, St Mirren 0. Ross County 3, St Johnstone 3, Livingston 1, Motherwell 1, Dundee United 0, Kilmarnock 3, it was midweek. And then the final games were St Mirren 0, Rangers 3, Hearts 1 and Hibs 1, Celtic 5, Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 2, Livingston 0, Motherwell 3, Dundee United 2, Kilmarnock 1, Ross County 1. So Kilmarnock 3, Ross County 1, so that leaves us next year with no Dundee United, potentially Ross County, and we'll have Dundee next year and potentially Partick Thistle, but then that's something to talk about next season. Okay, Tom, over to you.
Yep, so just a kind of season review, working our way through the league table, just commenting on each team, what we've learned so far. It might be a good podcast to come back and listen to for perhaps when you're building your game week one team, just for a refresher. So coming in, obviously, number one is Celtic, the champions, on the road for another treble. very attacking this season. Always assured of goals. Kyogo was the top scorer within the Celtic team, and he definitely delivered this season. Jota as well was important throughout the season, but I did feel he kind of tapered off towards the end. But I think, if you didn't have Jota this season, then your overall rank probably wouldn't be very good. I think clean sheets were less assured. especially when there was injuries within the back line. Not a whole lot of attacking returns from defenders. There was a spell right at the start of the season when defenders were getting goals, but that quickly ended and we didn't really get a lot. And particularly when you compare it to the likes of Tav and Barisic at Rangers, even Yilmaz in that final game getting two assists, like that's quite rare for Celtic defenders. So perhaps need to strengthen there. Looking ahead at next season then, I think probably Kyogo and Jota are probably the must-haves to start the season with. This is obviously dependent on if they're fit and also price-dependent as well, because obviously the starting prices are going to get changed and you may have to balance your budget a bit more, particularly at the start of the season. I think the third Celtic slot could go to defender, but I'll be waiting to see how things go with transfer activity in the summer and see what happens. Also, the midfielders were very good this season as well. Moy and Itati had decent spells. O'Reilly kind of ticked along. I think he kind of flew a bit more under the radar. And he actually came in top for assists this season with 15. So he's certainly one to keep an eye on as well. Peter, I'll come to you first. If you've got anything to add there.
What's your thoughts on the season? I think the two you would be relying on is Kyogo and Jota going forward. Also, this is, we've just mentioned, transfer dependent and squad dependent. We're just going to go what we've got in front of us, so we can only do what we know. I'd probably like to go for a third midfielder. So I think you maybe see over the space of someone who becomes more apparent. Like Moy's a year older, so is O'Reilly a year more mature? Does O'Reilly become that player? Like you said, he finished quite well with the assists. I think when you mentioned Jota as well, I think Jota's the only player this season who finished in double figures for goals and assists. So I think you're right. If you didn't have him on your team, you'd probably have a good rank. Defence, they're different defence. I think we're just going by recency bias for Rangers as well. We've got the attacking fullbacks, so they get more assists. And Celtic's defenders more play inverted, so there's not really much chance of the assists. So it's just sort of think next year. The two I've wrote down, I'll probably in my first team will be Kyogo and Jota. But again, it'll be price dependent because I'm pretty sure the game will make it harder to get all these players in.
Mm-hmm. Donny?
Yeah, I think Celtic have pretty much blown away the competition the start of the season, scoring loads of goals, keeping clean sheets. And then we had VAR come in and see them give away penalties all of a sudden. But no, just everything that you guys have said, Kyogo Jota, definitely. I'm not looking to put too much value in my defence next season because for the returns that you get and, you know, when we talk about clean sheets and things like that, it's probably not worth it. So I might just cheap out in my defence next season.
Tav?
Well, he's a number one pick. But I don't think from an asset point of view, Celtic, I think you could spend money better elsewhere. But they've had a great season. I look at the top positions and, as I say, goals and assists, it's Celtic dominated. They've just really overwhelmed from that point of view, which is why they're on course to win everything there is to win, unfortunately. But that's just the way it goes.
I like that. I did like Tom's week in a dig at the start, but nicely put, he does it in a nice way. Just don't know, I think you might be right, Tom, because a few times I think defence is a place you can go cheap. If you can find at the start of the season some nailed cheap players and teams, as we always tend to do, and get them in for the price rises, and then you spend the money elsewhere. And as you mentioned many times this podcast, you can't really protect the form for teams as you talk to. So you have Aldean player in there, they could get three clean sheets out of four, everything's going to be the same, yeah. Or you could get none out of four, it's just a lot. But if you've got the cheap players on that are playing, that gives yourself more chance of a better squad elsewhere. But anyway, back to you, Tom.
So coming in second, we've obviously got Rangers, their top scorer for the season was Tav, and he was also ranked first overall in the game, which I think is that three seasons in a bounce now. Key players did change slightly over the season. So one of Donny's favourite, Tony Goals, Cholak seemed to do quite well at the start, but then the goals did kind of start to dry up, and then it was Cantwell that he ended the season quite strongly. He kind of really sort of nailed that position as the Rangers mid, and I think that's probably a good thing going forward into next season, because I think previous seasons it's been hard to sort of pin down a Rangers midfielder. A lot of people kind of bounce between sort of Kent and, but he's not the most consistent. He tended to kind of assist the sister, and yeah, so Cantwell's going to be a good choice going into to next season, and I think him and Tav will be the two to have. Tav obviously had his usual high scoring season, and for periods of time he did kind of maybe have to rely on his attacking returns more than the clean sheets, but overall a very strong choice. I think Celtic and Rangers did have similar issues at the end of the season. Obviously when Celtic don't have Carter Vickers, they do seem to concede a lot more, and the same for Rangers without Goldson. Another team to kind of monitor closely in the transfer window, I think. I think probably the one position that they will look to strengthen is the striker position. And if they can nail that down, and I think probably Kyogo and whatever Rangers striker comes in that perhaps looks decent enough, you could look at getting those two in. Obviously, again, price dependent as well, and obviously dependent who's fit when building that game week one team. Donny?
Yeah, so disappointing season for Rangers. I guess it's a tale of two managers. We had Van Bronckhorst started off the season, having reached the Europa League final, got us into the Champions League, which was great, but the bulk of our season has been, you know, destroyed by injuries. Tom Lawrence was a great hope at the start of the season. He was a bit of a cheat code. Scoring, and you know, I thought he was going to be player of the season, and then he's got injured and hasn't played since August, I believe it was. And that's very much been the story of this Rangers team, that they leaked too many goals. Through some games that, well, now since Beal came in, that they've started winning. But Van Bronckhorst's time was up. He couldn't win the away games that you need to win, and obviously didn't win any of the Old Firms at the start of the season. And I think since Beal's come in, Rangers' form has improved dramatically. He's managed to get that win under Celtic. But you're going to have a clean slate next season. There's going to be a big overhaul right throughout the team. We're going to have a new goalkeeper, possibly one or two new defenders, maybe a few wide men, and certainly a change in strikers up front. So you're just going to have to listen to the likes of us as the season starts to give you insight on how Rangers are lining up, who the star players are, and look at the value that you get there. But Tav will be the number one name in the sheet. Cantwell at the moment is going to be your number two, and then we'll just have to see. But, you know, there is, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. If Rangers can spend wisely during the summer, then there's no reason why they can't challenge and overtake Celtic next season.
Pierre?
Well, I agree with Don up to that last sentence. But I think Tavernier is the first name of sheet every game. Cantwell, I think I said this last week, Tavernier and Cantwell are two I'm looking to bring in. I don't think it'll be price dependent on Tavernier. You've got to have him in the matter what. He didn't get a rise last year, Tavernier, didn't he? He stayed the exact same price. Is that
it
right?
It was close, yeah. I can't remember myself, but yeah, he didn't really change that much. But yeah, so you could make him $8 million and you'd still get him in.
Don't know if that's just the max price he'd go for, but it would be interesting if the game priced him higher, because he is going to finish top goal scorer and top point scorer. So if you make him a pricey player that you have to think otherwise, it would be interesting, but I don't think you're doing that route. They might get more engaged managers up to them. Yeah. It'd be Tavernier for me and Cantwell, and again, as you both mentioned, a big rebuild, so I wouldn't really want to nail my collar to him. Ask for a third player to see who they bring in, how the setup looks, and we'll see how it goes on for there.
Yep. Coming in at third then, we've got Aberdeen. Their top point scorer for the season was the Duke, and he was sixth overall in the game. On the whole, it was a bit of a shaky season for Aberdeen, but they did have a strong finish. Obviously, it was a bit chaos under Jim Goodwin, but they managed to kind of get things sorted out. At the start of the season, Miovski was the striker to have at Aberdeen, with a very strong start to the season, but I think Duke kind of overtook him in that kind of race, and he was the go-to striker there. At Aberdeen, the midfield as a whole was a bit underwhelming, but Clarkson did kind of fly under the radar a little bit for some. He was very consistent at the end of the season with his assists. Obviously, he's on loan from Liverpool. And I think in a recent interview, he said the possibility of a loan, another loan deal, is out with his control. So I don't know if he's that's his way of distancing or what, but we'll see. We'll have more information closer to the time. Obviously, the Aberdeen defensive run at the end of the season is fresh in our minds. And they even did quite well post-split too. I think if they can keep the same personnel that they do have just now in defence, then it could... and if they, obviously, if they do also have a favourable fixture run at the start of the season, then I could perhaps even see an Aberdeen defensive double up in the game week one team. I think Pollock was a great option at the end of the season, even getting himself a couple of goals. He was always had a decent number of shots on target. And obviously, he was getting consistent clean sheets as well. And we know, looking at our top 10 every week, goalkeeper position wasn't great. It was quite difficult to nail down a sort of consistent goalkeeper. So even perhaps Roos could be an option in that goalkeeper slot next season as well. Peter, I'll come to you first this time for your Aberdeen thoughts.
I think they've got quite a big rebuild as well, players that contracted this season, I believe. I was reading it on Twitter for the Aberdeen page. So Robson had them playing well, got them finishing third. I wouldn't take any, I don't think people still together, but they were on the beach for that point. They've done their job. Easy's been a good manager, seems to have got them playing quite well, quite solid at the back. So it's just to kind of watch and see how they score rebuild. Hopefully they keep these players you're talking about, like Aduke and Oskin Gee's option next year. Hopefully they don't get sold and start again. So that'd be interesting. Clarkson was one of my unsung heroes because he did, I did bring him in quite sharp and he did quite a lot of decent returns in like 6-7 points weekly. His points and his passing stuff. So, if the squad stays roughly the same, they might fall the territory like the Hearts last year where they're playing a lot of games. So, they're playing the Thursday, Sunday, and that really took its toll on Hearts. So, we'll see if Aberdeen can have the same kind of situation. So, again, it's all fixture dependent, squad dependent, and they keep their big stars dependent. But I would probably be starting the season with Duke if his price stays similar. I don't see them raising all the prices of all the players because then it makes it too difficult. You've got to have your options. I mean, say, for example, Van Veen stays in the league, Shanklin and Duke, Kyogo and Sakala. I mean, can you price them all the same? And then there's no really option. There need to be differentials. We need to make it engaging so people go for it. But we'll see. We'll cross the bridge when it comes to it.
Donny?
Yep, so Aberdeen, our team that went through two managers during the season, probably gave me two of my most favourite results, and that was the 3-2 victory for Rangers in injury time, and then the cup defeat to Darvel. It was good to see Aberdeen.
You're not better, Donny.
But, yeah, they've got a lot of loan players, Clarkson, and Pollock, unfortunately, was another one that you mentioned there. He was a loan player, possibly unlikely to return. They've got Scales. I imagine they'll probably try and do a deal with Celtic to keep a hold of him. They've got like some McCrory who might be off. They've got Shinney, who's another loan player, whether they can do a deal there. But certainly the lure of European football has created a buzz in the city and everyone is excited and looking forward to that. But they were a worthwhile team. At times during the season, they started off well, went in a slump and then came back well when Robson came in. I think you're right about the double defence as an option. Goalkeeper, it was one of the reasons that I probably didn't finish any higher than I did, was I think I changed my keeper about 4 or 5 times this year. Had I maybe just held my nerve and stuck with Roos, I probably would have done all right. But there's always value in Aberdeen defence. Usually got some cheap players that you can get value out of, and if they do some good business in the summer, whether it's holding on to Duke or Miowski or bringing in maybe a midfield general, then that's certainly one to look at. But there'll be plays that at one point during the season, just to be in the top six would have been an achievement, so to finish third would be beyond what they could have expected.
Up next then, we've got Hearts. Their top point scorer for the season was Shanklin, and he ended up third overall for points in the game. Hearts couldn't clinch that third spot. They did have some patchy form, and obviously they got rid of Nielsen in the end. Peter mentioned at the start of the season the squad depth wasn't really compatible with the European fixtures, and they seemed to kind of tire out. Defensively, very poor for Hearts this season. Peter's personal vendetta against Craig Gordon proved just. They only kept 6 clean sheets this season, which was the lowest in the league, so obviously they did well to finish fourth from that perspective. The points were obviously in attack, and Shanklin proved that again with another high finish, but also Ginelli in midfield. I did like Ginelli because he was kind of an out of position player. I don't think that's not really going to get you much more in terms of points, but it does free up a third striker spot if you count kind of Ginelli as your heart striker rather than Shanklin. But obviously Shanklin's where the bulk of the points were. Barry Mackay kind of had a decent start this season, but he tapered off as well. I think if Hearts could strengthen defensively over the summer, then they too may offer some value. Cochrane had a decent number of assists throughout the season, and if the clean sheet points were boosted, then I think he could probably have been a decent option throughout the season. I think his minutes were a bit here, there and everywhere as well, so probably not the most consistent, but he's the kind of one that springs to mind. Donny, what's your thoughts on Hearts this season?
I think we maybe put too much faith in Hearts to begin with, because they also finished as previous season strong. They had a good run in Europe, which they've been happy with, but it was just those goals, conceding the goals. You know, you probably always want to have a Hearts defender or goalkeeper in your team, and they just let you down week on week. So much so that I ended up just getting rid of them altogether. I think the names that you mentioned, Shanklin, Ginelli, were probably the only two worthwhile as it came to the end of the season. And Cochrane as well, albeit he got a few red cards in the last couple of games. But those, when I think about Hearts, those are probably the only three names that I consider when I'm looking at my team. And that proved to be the case over the course of the season. They had third sewn up and they've blown it. And depending on what they do managerial, will depend what sort of players they bring in. But they've got to be disappointed that they only just managed to finish fourth after cruising it most of the season. But let's hear Peter's thoughts on Hearts. It's his favourite team.
No. I'll try to be open and honest here. I think we failed to track perhaps this year, as Dory mentioned. They were good the year before, fantasy-wise. So you were getting good points off. I think Gordon was a bit of a hero for it, and that's probably why my vendetta was against him, that he couldn't keep up a year later. And you were getting points returning. Now, Shanklin was probably, would you say, he finished third overall turn? Okay. So
yes, overall for points.
Could have been a set and forget, and you'd been fine with him. Generally became good at the end. But I think it was just the defensive. You're thinking they're the third best team. You go for a defender. Maybe a little bit, as Donny said, they always let you down. I think a lot next year perhaps could be who they appoint as manager, because I think they're going to be too hasty and appoint Naismith, who's basically a coach going for a really big job, and that could backfire. It doesn't always work out. And I think if they appoint Naismith, I don't know if he's going to have the proper tactical nous to get them with there again, and it could be a disaster. Could be totally wrong. Just what I think, when I see the way things work, a lot is kind of fighting as either the players are playing from, but that runs out. With managers, you need something in there. Hearts is probably the third biggest club in Scotland right now, as it stands, wise fans and European football and stuff like that. So they should probably take their time and try to appoint a proper manager, and it might do them good stead next year. But I could look back at this in 6 months' time and say, Peter's talking absolute rubbish because Nathan's flying a league, but we'll see.
Yep. Our fifth team then, Hibs. Their top goal scorer, point scorer for the season was Ellie Ewan, and he finished 18th overall for points in Fantasy Scotland. I think that kind of sums up Hibs' season. They were plagued with injury. Nisbet was out for most of the season. Obviously, Martin Boyle, who Fantasy Football Scotland managers hold in high esteem, he was out as well. I think perhaps they could have done better if Nisbet was fit. He still managed 12 goals despite only his 19 appearances. And just for context, Duke had 16 goals, so just 4 more with 37 appearances. And Duke was obviously joint fourth top goal scorer in the league. Hibs were joint fourth for clean sheets behind Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen. They must not have had a sort of clear kind of run of defensive form. I think these clean sheets were kind of scattered out throughout the season. So that's probably why we didn't all jump on Hibs' defence. Well, apart from me, who bought Egan Riley, but that's a different story. I think Nisbet could be a good option if he stays, but I could see Hibs probably wanting to cash in, and I think probably Nisbet is looking to go as well. He's been linked with a few big money moves. I think the last one was Birmingham City, and then that kind of turned his head. So I don't know. Personally, I don't know if Nisbet's going to be there next season, but would you reckon, Peter? I see you kind of nodding your head there.
I think he'll be going, yeah. I like Nisbet. When he's fit, he plays well. I think at one point he had 3 goals in 4 game weeks. He gave the other option up top. Hibs are a weird team. I think it was a spell at the start of the season, Donny, you can correct if I'm wrong. I think they won all their games when they were playing against 10 men. It made them look better than they were. But sometimes I watch him and I do think Lee Johnson knows what he's doing. I think he does it. He's a proper manager and the players suit to play for him. And I think, right, okay, gets Martin Boyle back next year. If he's anywhere near the Martin Boyle that's played in this fantasy game, then we should be on a run. I think they're happy to have signed that Ewan full time. I like this here with him. So he's one that I've got on the radar for next season. Hopefully he is in the game as a midfielder because he plays off the wing and hopefully not a striker next year. And that would be a good option because he kind of does play as like a Jota or a Sakala type thing where he can play out wing and come inside. So hopefully he's in the great position if you're listening, Fantasy Scotland. Fish, I thought Fish was a good player this game. I jumped on him quite well and he came off my bench a lot. I think he gets a lot of tackling points and passing points for the defence, so if he's priced correctly he could be rooting out of that. I wouldn't go near Marshall. I think Marshall had that, the looks of the Gordon this year and McGregor and Rangers. Just looks like one season too many for a goalkeeper, and you can see him getting old in front of your eyes, and it's like time. I know they're backed him as a captain, but I don't think he's going to probably be any better next year. Who else? Was it Campbell was a good spot at one point as well. So
Josh Campbell, not a bad cheap option.
It's just to see if he gets back to be your chairman and he keeps majority squad, get rid of all the Edward, bring some players in. They could be an interesting prospect next year, but again, it's one to watch over the summer. He had a decent end of the season, Johnson. So I think the fans are kind of buoyed. They beat Celtic, they drew with Hearts, they had the fight for Europe, so they've done not too bad tips because they've done a bit of yo yo up and doing the league. So what to watch next season, I think.
Donnie, anything to add there?
No, I think I said this back at the time, but when Hibs have Martin Boyle in their team, they're a totally different animal. Everything goes through him and he is good for fantasy football. Whether he comes back and he has that same desire about him and the players around him, well, time will tell. But it's a team that I'd probably like to have picked more from, but I just found their form and, you know, some of the other players they were up against just went against them. But they can be a dark horse. It's a team that you're probably just going to have to watch in pre-season, see how they get on, see how they line up and make judgment from there. But I agree with Peter. I don't think Nisbet will be there. So it's what they do with that money will make a big difference to how they get on. But they've done as well as can be expected, I think. They have been patchy, and I think fifth is probably what they could have expected.
Yeah. So last team in the top half then is St Mirren. Their top scorer for this for points was Strain. They did finish bottom of the top half, but I do think they had a decent season. We were all on Younger at the start of the season, then he was injured for quite some time. And then St Mirren kind of had their defensive run of form. They did have one less clean sheet than Hibs, which I find that strange. I don't remember it that way, but that's what it is. Strain, obviously, the clean sheets did kind of sort of dry up towards the end, but his attacking returns did make up for that. He did have quite a few goals and assists in him, so did well there. I think O'Hara outperformed the expectations as well. I thought he was going to be one of these players that just kind of score penalties every now and again, a bit like Jorginho at Chelsea. For FPL, but he did end the season well and prove me wrong anyway. I think if Strain stays, I think he will be a decent option next season. I think the game might price him quite highly, given how good a season he had this time round, but definitely one to keep an eye on there. Donny, what was your thoughts on St Mirren?
Yeah, I like St Mirren. They've served me well over the course of the season. probably the surprise outfit in terms of where they finished. You mentioned Ayunga there. He's quickly forgotten. But yeah, he started the season on fire. He was out of position and got good points. And I think back to when my good run in the cup at the start of the season, he was probably one of the players that contributed towards that. But the other two names that you mentioned there, Strain, if he wasn't getting clean sheets, he was either getting goals and assists, which from a defender's point of view is what you want. He's certainly raised his own profile with nothing else. And O'Hara, I probably was one of the first to get on him, mainly because of penalties first and foremost, but then he did start to kick into gear with his contributions. Really useful player, either start with him or have him on your bench, and he would come off, whether it was against Rangers or Celtic. He had some hauls, so definitely helped my team. But, you know, they struggled in the top six, failing to win any of their games, but as a season overview, they've got to be really happy with where they've finished. As I say, from a fantasy point of view, I think they served us all well.
Yep. Yeah.
Ayunga, the streets won't forget. Yep. I liked him to start the season. I think Simon had a good season overall. They did. He's a good manager. And as Tony said, their top six was just a step too far. The players had done the hard work and they were still played, but I just think when you're playing the better teams in the league, it's harder to get results. We're probably a good shout next year. He'll probably keep the core of that team, you'd like to think. Maybe add to it. And it'd be good for some value if the price right. The only issue is, I think Tom's right, I think Strain will price maybe too high next year. And if you try to fit all these players mentioned before, you might not want to go for Strain unless the fixes are good. Depends what they price him at. And O'Hara as well, I'm assuming, because he's done well and scored quite high, they'll price him high as well. So we'll do what we do every year. We're looking for the new version of Strain, the new version of O'Hara coming to teams that are doing the kind of same value other teams. So,
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Pretty much it.
Yep. Top of the bottom half then, coming at number seven is Motherwell. Obviously their top point scorer this season was Van Veen. Very impressive end to the season. Van Veen was the second highest goal scorer in the league behind Kyogo with 25 goals. Spittle, a very good enabler. He was 11th for overall score this season. So had the same score as Danny Armstrong, and he outscored others in the same kind of price bracket, like O'Hara and Josh Campbell at Hibs. I think Van Veen mentioned he is perhaps looking for that final move, and he's definitely made a good bid to get people's attention. But if they can keep a hold of him, or maybe even keep a hold of the players that are around him, and perhaps invest in a proven goal scorer, then I think Motherwell could be a good option for next season. I think they were just a bit unlucky not to get that top half finish. Peter, what do you reckon?
Motherwell, yep. Once Caterwell came in, they started playing some really good football, played to a lot of players' strengths. Spittle had a good start to the season. I remember I had him in my team early on, but then he kind of fell away. But then once the new manager came in, he did play well again. I think Spittle will be there next year. Goss, another one, will be there next year. I don't know about the other players. We'll talk about Johnson at the back and Van Veen up front. And Van Veen's obviously trying to be really nice about getting his move, because he's giving Motherwell a lot of plaudits, but I think he's definitely wanting one more move and one big pay rise, which is fair play. Yeah, it's a good season. You can see him, he was playing at the end as well. He was playing with a purpose and a point to prove. And if that's what he wants, and hopefully gets his move, I hope he doesn't end up back into like League One, League Two England obscurity and you get him scoring 8 goals a year. If he does stay, then I think he might be a good option to start with, depending on the price again. And we'll see how Motherwell recruit in the summer, because they're a team very similar to Livingston. They don't really have a lot of money to throw about, so it'll be maybe try to get the best of the Championship or players who are maybe leaving the clubs that have been relegated, maybe released, and try to add to the squad they've got. So it's just one to watch and see. But I think our cup might be called the Kevin Van Veen Cup at the start of next season. I just got a funny feeling he won't be leaving next year.
Donny?
Yeah, Motherwell, again, probably, you know, having just missed out in the top six, they've probably still exceeded their expectations there. Van Veen has had a phenomenal season. No one can take that away from him. I agree with Peter. I don't think he will be in the league next year, which could make Motherwell a risk. But saying that, Spittle, Goss, even Kelly and Goals are all worth a shout. Pretty reliable end to the season, and you know they are a team that tend to hold their own as a cheap price point. You definitely get value from them, but you know Van Veen has been a standout. I think he might have even been my first differential way back at the start of the season. So I obviously saw what was to come. But fantastic, and you know whatever move he gets, he'll deserve it, and I'm sure Scottish football will be worse off for it, but no, well done to Motherwell.
Yep. Livingston then, their top scorer for in terms of fantasy points was Nicky Devlin. I think they did well to finish where they did. They had the least number of goals in the league overall for the season, which was 36, and they also had the same number of clean sheets as St Johnstone and Dundee United, which was 7. As mentioned, the top scorer was Nicky Devlin, who finished 47th overall for points. So that kind of shows that there's no key talisman there. The goals and assists and everything were kind of spread around amongst the squad. Probably not a team that I would target for next season. I'd probably wait and see how they get on at the start and see if there is some emerging prospects there. But probably wouldn't look to invest straight off the bat. Donny, do you agree with that one?
Yeah, so, as I've said countless times on here, I've always had a soft spot for Livingston. You generally tend to get value, whether it was Guthrie a couple of seasons ago, Devlin, Kelly, Stephen Kelly, Sean Kelly. There was always value in that team. Now, I mentioned last time that they're losing Devlin. He's away at Aberdeen. Fitzwater's another player that's out of contract and moving on. So they're probably two pretty decent players at the back of that squad. So that'll be a miss. Sean Kelly was a great start of the season. He was out of position, took penalties, took corners. He wasn't really getting a game towards the end of the season. So if he's back in there, that might be one to watch. Stephen Kelly had a good season, helped my team a couple of weeks, but they're a good one to watch. As I say, you generally get a player out of that Livingston squad. And what you need to remember with these bottom six teams is they'll have the League Cup groups. So you'll get to see a couple of games, a few squad lineups, and see how they're shaping up. But they've peaked. Whether it's time for a change, managerial top to bottom, I don't know. They're probably where they would expect to be after having a good season the year before. But as I say, I think Livingston will always offer value in this game.
Yeah.
Yep, Tony said that Devons will be Aberdeen, so that's probably their most secure point scorer. He has mentioned about having a big overhaul to do and a budget to adhere to and lost a lot of players, so this is where Tony's probably bang on. He might see a few youth players coming through at the team and securing first team positions, but the squad's going to be smaller, so you might get a couple of your cheap enablers here, and maybe a defender or a midfielder in the squad, depending. So just keep a close eye on Livingston throughout the season, because they're going to have to go for youth, and they're going to have to cut their budget back, so you might see a few players. There are a few players mentioned in our podcast I was listening to for the week that are coming through, but I couldn't remember the names, so I'm not even going to attempt it. But there's a few players that they have highlighted that might get a chance next year. I think they're all quite youngish, and they're all priced quite low, so it's some we'll keep an eye on. As Dory said, MD from St Mirren Down is going to be in this cup, and group games, so you'll see how managers are setting up at the start of the season. And especially if they're struggling in the group, they need to get through, you'll see the full strength team, so you'll have an idea of what players and assets to get into your team that are cheap.
Yeah. Yep. Number nine then, St Johnston. Their top fantasy points scorer for the season was Stevie May, who was 19th overall for points. Not really a lot to say about St Johnston. I think they've been on a progressive decline since they won the double. Stevie May, 19th overall, but there's so many decent striker options this season. He wasn't really one to consider. Dre Wright was the second highest point scorer for St Johnston. He came in at 31st. For me, it's like a team like Livingston. I wouldn't be looking to invest at the start of the season, but if there is any emerging options, then I'd be quite happy to jump on those at the time. But definitely a wait and see for me. Peter?
Yep, Stevie May first. Tom's point, I think we mentioned Stevie May a few times on this podcast too. It does look for him, decent option, but this is so many options up front this year that he would never really get into their teams. Him to Capone would have been very lucky with that. New manager in, so again, it's going to have to wait and see. They're going to have quite a lot of players at contract, I'm sure, as well. Put his own stamp on it. I don't have any St John's players on my team all year, apart for the backup goalkeeper. I think that's my left player I had in all year. I don't see that changing until next year. See what Stephen Clean can do with his team, see how they look in the cup, and maybe some cheap enablers, but very similar to Livingston. I'm not looking to be starting there unless it's cheap bench fodder.
Donny?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I think the only dabble I had in St Johnston was bringing in Graham Carey, and it turns out he was injured for about 3 weeks and never got the benefit of him. But not a team you can pin your hopes on. You know, it's probably, if you're looking for a cheap defender, you might go St Johnston because they will get one in four, one in five. But they've just never been a good fantasy team for value and returns. You know, if you go on May, you're going to lose ground because there's probably going to be better strikers outscoring them week in, week out. So really hard to predict their form. They won three of their last five games, which obviously goes a long way to them staying in the league. But just not a team that does it for me, Tony.
Yeah, I think for me, Ferguson at St Johnston bagged me a lot of points because he was my non-playing player and for the bench. Number 10, then Kilmarnock, their top scorer for the season in terms of fantasy points was Danny Armstrong. I thought they were a team that had a few decent fantasy prospects, but they never really seemed to take off. At the start of the season, Ash Taylor was bagging in quite a lot of goals, but Kilmarnock conceded too many to kind of boost those returns with clean sheets. So he was quickly removed from a lot of teams. Kilmarnock conceded 62 goals. The only team worse than that was Dundee United. Danny Armstrong was a nice, cheap enabler. He even managed to score Tilman at Rangers, so gives you an idea of how well he did. Be interested to see what happens with him. Though he was on penalties, so that would be definitely a boost for him. Vassell did step up at the end of the season. Otherwise, few options really to consider there. Peter, come to you first.
They were basically a championship team playing the Premiership. They didn't really improve their squad, did they? So Armstrong's one we all kind of clocked early. I think we all had him in his team at one point, so he did well. Reading online again, I think he's going to get back in the summer. They said to stay up, so Kilmarnock might be a different prospect. I think it was just this first year from McInnes was just survive and then build on it. So he has got Premiership proven quality, so we'll see what he does in the summer. Maybe bring a couple of players in and it might be more of a value option. But as it stands, they're still in that similar role. I'm assuming Armstrong's going to get a price rise as well, so it might not be as appealing as it would be, but apart from that, not much to say. I'll wait and see how they go on in the summer.
Donny?
Yep. Ash Taylor was the main man at the start of the season, scoring goals and generally performing well. The only problem was we all went Mayo because he was 2.2 million playing every week. And by the time we got out of that, Taylor had probably cooled down. But again, that's the sort of positions that you will look at and pick up a cheap defender, maybe somebody who's on loan, unrecognised, but they're playing every game, and that's where you'll get your value. Armstrong, again, penalty taker, always does well in my eyes, got great returns over the course of the season, but up front was where they lacked. They couldn't really score goals. They probably produced their best form when it was needed in that last five games. They won three, which lifted them out of those bottom two positions. But again, a difficult team to predict when you're not scoring and not really keeping clean sheets. From a fantasy football point of view, it's difficult. But Armstrong, if he stays, would probably want to have if he's priced correctly. But they've survived, which is the main thing at that end of the table. So I guess they've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, it will be nice to see how they build through the summer. 11th in Ross County, their top scorer for fantasy points was Jordan White. For Ross County, they were 7th highest for clean sheets with 9, but they did struggle in front of goal. Not a lot. Didn't score a lot. They were actually lowest for shots in the league with 350. Livingston were 2nd lowest with 375. Jordan White managed to get 11 goals and 2 assists. And then County's 2nd highest fantasy scorer was Yakaviti, who was 43rd overall. They will have to play the playoffs against Partick this week. I think the first leg is tonight. Is that right?
Thursday? No.
Thursday, yeah.
Thursday. So they still may go down, so we'll have to see how things pan out with that. Donny?
I won't be sorry if Ross County go down. sorry, Ross County fans, but they had a great season the year before and couldn't really do anything with it. From a fantasy point of view, I think Yakaviti was probably the only one that we pinned our hopes on, but they were so inconsistent, didn't score a lot, weren't getting the clean sheets. It was probably a team that we all avoided. You know, even before the World Cup breaks, so they've got a chance to stay in the league. I'm sure they'll do their best, but to see Park Thistle in the league instead of County, I'd say I don't think I'd be too heartbroken if that was to happen. But yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yep, Pierre.
I agree with Donnie wholeheartedly. I'd like to see a different change, different team in, some new players. Partick up, let's see it. I know it's not against any teams, it's maybe Partick up, new fresh players, more chance to get some cheap assets for the game, and then maybe some of Ross County's kind of better players maybe moving to other teams, like a Lacavetti or Jordan White going somewhere and maybe get a different chance. So I'd be more interested in seeing a couple of new teams in the league, just for fantasy aspect-wise, some fresh.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Then our final one then is obviously Dundee United. Their top fantasy scorer was Fletcher. They were worst for goals conceded with 70 and managed 7 clean sheets. Poor season throughout. I kind of thought, despite having a poor season, I thought some of the players could become decent fantasy assets. Obviously, McGrath has got history with fantasy football. He could have stepped up there and was obviously on penalties as well. Fletcher, obviously had a decent career behind him, but I think he's maybe a bit past it. He was 30th overall in the game for points. Harks has done well previous seasons for us. And Behetch, obviously, similar ilk of strain with a sort of attacking fullback. But it wasn't meant to be. and they're going down, so don't really need to say too much on them because they're not going to be a consideration for next season. Peter, anything to add there?
Won't be bringing any of them in, Tom. No point. No, they've got a lot of players in the team that are like decent fantasy assets, have been there, done it before. So we're interested to see where they'll end up because I don't imagine a lot of players will want to stay in the Championship. They want maybe get their move. I mean, McGrath would probably be a decent... Is he a permanent player or is he on loan?
Because
if he's permanent, you think he'd want to go somewhere else. You think he might end up rocking up at like a Hearts or something like that, or a Hibs, just some in the midfield extra. So wait and see whether something like that works out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll see him in two seasons' time if Goodman builds him, gets him back up. But they weren't a very good team this year, to be honest. Every team thought they were going to come back, they kind of just blew it. And when I think they won three games before the split, the trot gets a little trouble. They lost every game after the split. I mean, that just shows the season they had.
Yeah.
They weren't really backed at all.
Donny, anything to add there?
No, I don't think so. It's probably the team I had the highest hopes for. One of the best squads at the start of the season. Just couldn't get together. They had that big win against Alkmaar. And then I think it all went to pot after the second leg. They lost 9-0 to Celtic. And things didn't really get better. As we said before the split, they won a few in a row. And it looked like they were going to get safe. And then, as Peter said, to lose every game in that bottom six, it's just sealed their fate. So to make it worse, it's Dundee that's replacing them. So that's going to be a sore one in the city. Again, I'd go out on a limb and say they should come straight back up, but they will lose players. And you know, it's a tough league in the Championship, but you know, it's their own fault. That's just the way football goes.
Yep. Just a caveat at the end of that, obviously we can't have a squad of 15 players with just Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen and Hearts, so we will have to look at sort of cheaper options at the start of next season. As you guys both mentioned, the League Cup can be a good indicator on key players. It obviously is opposition dependent because they will play players two or three leagues below. The group stages do start on the weekend of the 15th and 16th of July, so keep your eyes peeled.
Well done, Tom. Is that you finished, Tom? Anything else, Dad?
Nope, that's all.
Well done. Right, Don, over to you.
Yep, so I won't spend too much time on this because Tom's gone into a lot of detail there and he's covered off a lot of things that I'm going to talk about. But I'm just going to do awards for the season. So we've got the top scorer. I don't think there's going to be any surprises there. The top scorer by position. I've got a team of the season and then I'll look at some of the stats compared to last year. So we already know the player of the year was James Tavernier for the third year in a row. Second was Van Veen and third was Shankland. Can you remember the top three from last season at all, Peter?
Tavernier?
Yeah. Remember who any of the last two were?
Did you score yourself last year? Did you get that?
Yeah. He got 295 points this season and last season he got 252. So I think from a goals point of view, as a Rangers fan, it feels like he scored like more free kicks and more other than penalties, and that's probably what's happened because clean sheets has probably gone down.
But plus, more bonus points this year. He's more of a chance at good, right? So last year then, Jota
was third. He was second, and then it changed in the very last game of the season. Tom, do you have a stab at who came second?
Shankland.
No, last season, remember?
Last season.
Nisbet.
No, it wasn't Nisbet. He's playing in Italy. He scored 6 goals this season.
Oh, penalty kick. Ferguson?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was on Ferguson. That's right. He was great last year.
Ferguson was 186, Jota was 185. And if you compare that with Van Veen, was 253, and Shankland was 248. You know, there's far more value in the game this season. No more throw than up front. Worth noting that all three of these players take penalties. It's something that I always champion when I'm looking at my team. So it's been a good season in terms of points, and it's Tavernier that holds the crown as far as that's concerned. So we'll move on to by position. The top three goalkeepers last season were Craig Gordon, who's fallen off a cliff, Joe Hart and Jack Anik. So in terms of the number one goalkeeper this season, Tom, do you have a guess?
Was it Kelly at Motherwell?
No, he came in third.
So he's top three. Just try to think. Joe Hart?
It was your man Joseph, and then Roos came in number two. Now, points-wise, it's down on last season. Gordon was 159 compared to Hart's 133. Hart had a better season last season on 147 to 133, and Anik was third, was 126. So I think that is, when we look at the clean sheets, it's very indicative that, you know, teams are conceding more goals, whether it's because of VAR. And as I've touched on, defence-wise, I probably won't spend too much money in defence area. So if we look at defenders, obviously James Tavernier, first last season, first this season. Numbers two and three last season were Carter Vickers and Tony Ralston. They have been replaced by two new defenders. So, Peter, do you want to have a guess at one of them?
Well, it's not going to be Celtic anymore because of clean sheets. Let me think. Second. No, you're shaking your head. Let me see. Greg Taylor.
Greg Taylor is the third. Okay. So we've got a number two position. Tom, who's number two defender in the game?
Strain?
It was, yeah, Ryan Strain. So Tavernier was 295. Strain was 168, which compared to Carter Vickers last season was 170. And Taylor was 153 compared to Ralston 160. So probably similar returns there. So let's say it was getting on Strain early, keeping him in your team, either in the starting lineup or on the bench, proved value there. Now, the midfield last season was Ferguson, Jota and Aribo. They have been replaced by Tom.
So all three of them are gone. Okay.
Well, not necessarily.
And all of them have been replaced, did you say?
No, just the new top
three. It's just the word in time, just the word in time.
Oh, sorry. So Yota, I imagine, is still in there.
Yota's got his first position there. So any other two, Peter?
Spill.
No. Tom, one last try. Patty is in the third spot. It was a clean sweep for Celtic. O'Reilly took up number two.
Mentioned it earlier on, so he did.
Probably not a player that we looked at over the course of a season in terms of bringing him in or talking him up. It was, you know, Jota, Kyogo, Hatate, but, you know, O'Reilly would have got you consistent returns. You stuck with him. Point-wise, again, it's very similar to last season there. The main difference up front, so last season, Tony Watt was our top point scorer up front, then Morelos, and then Ramirez. The order, I think we've already mentioned it, Kevin Van Veen finished top with 250, so over 100 points more. Shankland was two, and Kyogo was three, so I won't test your knowledge there. So if we jumble all that up using the fantasy rules, and a 3-4-3 formation, the team of the season would have been Bruce in goals, Tavernier, Strain, Barisic in defence, Jota, O'Reilly and Spittle in midfield. Jota, O'Reilly, Spittle, Armstrong in midfield, and a front three of Van Veen, Shankland, Kyogo. Had you perma-captained Tavernier and perma-vice-captained Kyogo, you would have ended up on 2,628 points, which would have given you 28th position overall. You still would have had your triple captain and you still would have had your bench boost.
That's not bad at all, is it?
That's not too bad. You would have had not much on the bench given the prices, but just
was
shows
that,
you...
Was it affordable, Donnie? Did you work it out? Could you afford it?
I didn't work it out because, you know, so the prices are starting hard, season that, now, exactly. But you know, given the three Rangers, three Celtic, it probably would have been difficult. But Spittle in there, Armstrong in there, Strain in there, you would have got close. Roos was a cheap goalkeeper at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. You maybe could have, because, as I say, you could have just cheaped out in all your defence and had non-playing players. But those are all names, household names that we've been mentioning week in, week out. O'Reilly's probably the only standout there. So just moving on to some of the other stats. Goals, as we know, Kyogo top scored with 27, Van Veen and then Shankland. Can you remember who the top goal scorer in the game last season was, Tom? How quick we forget. Peter, do you want to help him?
Morelos?
No.
Tony Watt?
Nope. We named a cup after him.
Oh, Regan Charles Cook.
Charles Cook. It was 13.
From midfield? Oh, yeah.
Boy,
can't
sure was, I?
So really shows you how it was a struggle last year to get any value up front. Jackie Mackis also scored 13 and Furuhashi scored 12. The assists last season were Tavernier, Mackay and Jota. They have all been replaced. Do you want to have, I think, Tom, you mentioned the top assists. You might get this one. But anyone want to have a guess at who the top three assists were? Tom?
Well, I mentioned O'Reilly earlier.
So yeah. So we've got two more, Peter.
Jota?
Jota. And I'd be surprised if you get who's number three because it was a surprise to me.
So assists, third assists in the whole season. Yeah. Brian, whose name I've mentioned a few, you hear a few who came in, assist. Well, he's a clue, Don. Is it for the top? Is it Rangers?
He was one of my differentials at one point in the season.
Tillman?
Played in the World Cup.
Alan Moy?
Moy with 12.
Oh, didn't expect that.
The stats. So that was quite a surprise. Again, Celtic dominating.
He did a good spell for about 8 weeks, didn't he? Yeah. Maybe he went nuts. Yeah.
That was probably when I backed him. Clean sheets. So last season, Hart was top on clean sheets, Gordon and then McGregor. This season, it's Hart, Marshall and Kelly. But what is quite significant is Hart had 19 last season, 16 this season, so there's been a drop-off there. Gordon, 14, McGregor, 12. They've both been replaced by Marshall, 11, and Kelly, 11. So if you're talking 11 clean sheets out of a 38-game week, you know, 1 in 3, you know, there isn't a lot of value. No. So if you can get it right, just stay, as far as that's concerned. Bonus points. So last year, we had Tavernier top on bonus points, Jota and Morelos. Any idea who's topped the bonus points this season, Peter?
Van Veen must be up there.
Yeah, Van Veen. Van Veen was blessed with the fact that when he scored, whatever happened with Motherwell, he was always getting 3 bonus points. Rangers and Celtic, it can kind of be spread throughout the team, but that's what made him such a good, valuable asset in the last 10, 11 games of the season. He scored, got the bonus points, boom. It was a great one. So the other two spots, Tom, do you want to have a guess? Household names, fantasy football-wise.
Kyogo?
No.
Bob was captain.
Yeah.
Third one would be Shankland.
No, Jota.
Jota.
So Van Veen picked up 43 bonus points, and Tavernier 38, Jota 38, and last season Tavernier was on 37. So much the same there. And just finishing off in goalkeepers again, saves. Last season we had Gordon, number one in saves. Again, how quickly that's gone out of the way. Kelly number two, Anik number three. They've been replaced by Laidlaw. Surprisingly enough, I suppose one of the worst teams in the league, forced to make saves all the time. Roos, who again, Aberdeen have had a good run, and Kelly. But again, those numbers are down on the previous season. Last stat of note is penalty saves. Marshall, Roos and Kelly all saved 2 penalties over the course of the season, while Hart and McGregor didn't make any penalty saves. So take it that what you will. But that rounds off the awards for the season. I think it has been a good game because there's been great value across the pitch, and it was just getting it right week in, week out. And if you manage to do that, then you'll have finished well, which we've all done relatively not bad this season. So that's the last dive of the season. We'll be back at the start of next season, hopefully getting some of those cup games in, seeing how teams line up, and maybe giving you some gems to kick off the season.
Yep, well done, Donny. Some gems, and also keep your eye on the non-playing players. Go out and loan.
Yes,
we'll track you down
flags.
Yeah. That gives you a chance to build your team, and then you go for it. Unless the game take it out, but I think that's a thing they won't do. It's quite a good wee thing. Right, that is us finished with Scottish. Just a quick final, what was your final FPL rank, guys? Tom?
I think it was 86,030.
I was 80K 794 or something like that, so just the 80K mark. And Donny, you were there?
It was 172. So I've not played it for about 10 years.
Yeah, came back 172. It's still in the top 2% of the game. It's not new. It's just about 2% for you, 1% for me and Tom. But the game's getting so much harder. There's a lot more engaged managers every year in that, because I listen to podcasts like ourselves only for the English game and just falling, not falling them, they're making in more informed decisions. So
yeah,
I think it's still pretty damn good score. Right, so as Dory had mentioned and Tom mentioned, that's us finished. That's the last podcast. We'll probably come back with something maybe end of July, start of August, see how the cup goes and transfer goes. It lets us get more info. Hopefully the game gives us some more player reels to leak that we've done last season, I guess, something to talk about. And also we probably will come back when a game goes live. That's probably the most that we can talk through the actual players and stuff like that. But I just like to thank everybody who has listened to the podcast, downloaded the podcast, asked us any questions about the cups. It's been fantastic. Without you, we've been doing the podcast because nobody listening to us, and it'd be no point. So again, thank you. And I'll let these guys get their plugs in. Anything they want to say, Donny?
No, I can only second that. And obviously, from my point of view, and thanks to you both, and Peter works hard on the cups and getting all your scores in and making the season go well. And without Tom, we wouldn't have our Tom time. And you know, he's had daddy duties this season, so he's done well to make it through. But yeah, I hope you've all enjoyed it. I certainly enjoy doing what I do, and that showed with my position. So pay attention next season, and you could be up there as well. So for more Fantasy Football Scotland, I am at @FFS_Donny.
Plus, you've also got a new rival next year.
Bruno, yeah.
Rambo.
Rambo, sorry. Coming Rambo after me.
Old King versus new King, yeah. Right, so, you want to say, get your plugs in?
Yeah, no, just what Donny said. Thanks to you two guys for being on the pod, and thanks to everyone who engages with the pod and submits questions every week. Looking forward to next season now, and see what changes the game brings. I do like to make a lot of changes throughout the summer, so I'll be interested to see how things are next season. But I'm already looking forward to it, and thanks again.
Me too. Thanks for joining us, guys. It's been a pleasure week to talk to you, and let's throw ideas at each other. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys down the road, hopefully at a later date. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Serves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.